Tango Tango Papa 1937, December 12, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. So, the past few days, I was in Georgia and then ended up going to Edwardsville, Illinois, outside of St. Louis. And then from Edwardsville, I turned right around and came back to the Atlanta area. I had a load that dropped and hooked earlier this morning in Union City, Georgia, which is a southwestern suburb of Atlanta, just off of Interstate 85, outside of 285. And after that, they never did send a load. So I'm assuming probably what's going on. Either things are slow or I am due home to begin my vacation by the 19th. Then that, let's see, today's the 12th, so we got 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So I'm supposed to be home on the 19th. So that's 7 days from now. So that probably could also be figuring in to why they didn't send a load, because maybe they didn't have a load that was going that would take me to the right place, which is fine because I want to begin my vacation on the 19th. So it was actually quite a nice day here today. It got up, I don't know, probably I'm guessing maybe 72, 73 degrees, maybe even something like that, mid-70s, I would say. So it's a pretty nice day. Part of the day it was cloudy, and then the sun kind of popped out. And I think this evening it's, now it's, what time is it, 5:46, or so it would be 6:46 Eastern time. And it's still pretty warm. I've got I'm sitting here in the truck, got the windows part way down, and don't have any heat or air conditioning on. Well, actually, I have the air conditioning on. I had it on earlier when the sun was out, so I do have a little bit of air conditioning on. I don't know. It's not, the compressor's not kicking in, so it's pretty pleasant. So, as I say, my vacation's supposed to begin on the 19th, and then I'm scheduled to come back to work on the, I believe the 11th or the 12th, maybe the 12th is when I'm set to come back to work. So, once I'm home, probably won't be doing much podcasting. That kind of remains to be seen, because I'm going to be fairly busy with family stuff. I've got to, I'm planning on making a trip over to Oklahoma City. My youngest niece and her husband live there, and she's pregnant right now. I think the last I heard, they were planning on taking the baby cesarean section, or sort of. I don't know about that. I take that part back. Don't know about the cesarean section, but I think they're planning to on inducing labor. I think they said on the 17th. I don't know about the cesarean section. That may you know, you just never know whether, because there's a lot of cesarean sections that are done anymore, so I don't know if that's how they'll do it or not. But they're planning on inducing labor on the 17th. And so I'll be getting home on the 19th, and I'm not sure exactly when I'll be heading over to Oklahoma City. Maybe, I don't know, maybe on the sometime on the 20th or the 21st, and then I'll probably be there for a couple of days, and then meet my parents over there, because I think they're planning on coming up before that so that they can be there for the birth, and then I think after that we'll come back to my house for the duration, and then like I say, I'll be leaving again to come back to work on the January the 12th. So we'll probably be fairly busy during that time. That's usually the case. The last several years I've taken my vacation time at Christmas, and there was a number of years where I didn't. I really didn't take the vacation time. I would just go ahead and take the, you know, with trucking companies usually they'll let you take the money and not take the time off. And so I did that for a number of years, but I'd say the past, probably starting in 2000, probably about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, I started actually taking the time and not simply taking the money, but I also take the time. At this point, I kind of like taking the time, and you know, it's nice having a paid vacation, and it's good to kind of, you know, get away from working too much. I think, you know, I think there, it's really best if you have a mix of, you know, not too much leisure, but not too much work either. So, and I think it's also good to kind of mix in as much family time as possible. And I'm fortunate that I get along extremely well with most of my relatives, and especially my close relatives. You know, my immediate family, we all get along just fine. And you know, that's for a lot of people, that's kind of an iffy proposition. There are plenty, you know, there are plenty of people that I hear about that just cannot stand to be around any of their relatives, and they're sort of I guess it's really more of an ongoing sibling rivalry than anything else in a lot of cases that has never gotten resolved. And that's really unfortunate when it happens. So anyway, I have a couple of emails that I received from Mike. So I'll just kind of go into these. So let's see here. We'll start with the first one. Mike says, Tom, I understand you're considering hanging up the microphone and retiring from the podcast, although I'd prefer you keep going. I understand you feel like you've said all there is to say, but I do want to tell you there are those of us who hate to see that happen. People like me who plug in and listen to you while working around the house, driving, or to fall to sleep at night, listening to your calming sense of reason. I personally find you have a rare gift of common sense and a means to communicate it most effectively. You're a true patriot who seems extremely frustrated with the direction of this country. We love, and so many of us need to know, there's others who agree. You recently asked for contributions from the audience to inspire new topics. I will do my best to come up with a few, if it will help. What is the best way to share them with you? Let me know and I'll provide some suggestions. Be safe out there and know that you're truly making a difference in people's lives, whether you realize it or not. Happy holidays, Tom. And so that was from Mike. Of course, I responded back to Mike. And so really the best way to interact with me is to send voice files. Really a good way. But in lieu of voice files, if you can't do that, then emails also can be useful. And so anyway, Mike sent back a response. He says, "Hi Tom, like you, I've elected to cut back substantially on mainstream media. With that being the case, it will be difficult to provide substantive content regarding news stories. I typically just check in with Drudge and Fox on the web each day for a few minutes to read top headlines. That's basically what I do. But it's mostly Drudge and maybe a few other places. I cut our cable TV off about 6 years ago, and to my surprise, the family never even missed it. I just couldn't flip through 200 channels of nonsense to end up on the History Channel and pay $700 a year. I was thinking today about a subject that might be interesting for you to discuss on your podcast. A coworker of mine who is a really great guy mentioned going to an event in Atlanta this past weekend. It involved a celebration around a mythical character called Krampus. Have you ever heard of this? I looked it up and understand this was a fictional beast created as the antithesis of Santa Claus. If children misbehaved, they would be warned of a visit from Krampus, who would beat them. On one side, I see where this could be considered fun and games like Halloween, but on the other side, it seems very demonic. And why would everyday working-class adults celebrate such a character? I was told by my coworker that this event even spanned several bars and parade-like activities in the street. With God being put on the back burner in this country, this seems like further evidence that our society is in a dangerous and downward spiral. Being that we're in a holiday season now, this might be a timely topic for your podcast if you haven't touched on it previously." And so he sent a link. This is actually the Wikipedia article. "Tom, I have a 2-year-old granddaughter that I think the world of. I'm very concerned with the world she's being brought into. I'm only 48, but won't be here to protect her forever. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about how to ensure her safety in a rapidly deteriorating society. It frustrates me to no end that we're pissing away what costs so many lives to protect. Hopefully, I will be able to instill the correct values in her as she fights the tide of an increasingly self-centered society. Thanks for all of your wise words and thoughtful commentary. Be safe out there." So that was from Mike. And so let's see. So I'll just read my response back that I just sent just a while ago. "The Krampus name rings a bell, but I don't think I ever looked into it. I've never been a fan of the Santa idea. The name Santa contains the same letters as the word Satan. And of course, why is Santa's suit red? There's something troubling about the Santa tradition. Why can't parents discipline their children without making up stories? Santa is like a satanic externalized enforcer. The problem with our society is that generations of people have raised their kids based around extreme emotional feelings rather than morals. It has gotten very much out of hand. Morals are here to contain us from falling into becoming just devilishly intelligent emotional animals. I view the Krampus phenomena as further evidence that people are slipping into greater and greater fantasies. The new Star Wars movie that hasn't even come out yet is said that it will set new movie attendance records worldwide. The people I hear talking about it are relishing a new episode of their fantasy world of choice. The original Star Wars movies revolved around good versus evil, and as such, were morality plays in a far-removed cartoonish form, where the moral exhortations seemed more abstract and less personally threatening. If I had kids, knowing what I know now, I would do my best to explain to them that they are brought into existence by God, and that God communicates with us through our intuitive knowing of the difference between right and wrong. Therefore, make friends with that intuitive sense of knowing, and once you are friends with it, you won't want to do anything to violate that relationship. True intuition is non-emotional. Once a child has their own relationship with their own intuitive sense of knowing, they have all the protection they will ever need. With the relationship I have with my intuition, despite what I see going on in the world around me, I have a sense of security and peace that I cannot explain. Whatever happens, there is a purpose to the existence of my awareness, and that purpose will be served regardless. I know these words come across as cheesy sounding, but words are all I have to describe this with. And so that was my response back. So, the Santa thing, I've often thought that, you know, what is it? Santa, you know, and Santa, supposedly Santa, the idea is that if you're good, you're a good little kid, then Santa is going to get you more gifts. You know, and what's the point of that? You know, it's kind of like, you know, somebody gives you a gift. And I can see, you know, little kids getting gifts or whatever. Because, you know, you can't completely stop them from sort of trying to look for the way to say this. Children need to a certain extent, find out, you know, kind of go through the thing of having rewards and punishment. And, you know, the rewards, oh, Johnny, look at your new boots. You know, those really look good. Or little Susie, what a cute dress that is. You know, and then the kid sort of beams, and their little animal ego sort of gets polished, sort of puffs up a little bit. So we do need to go through that to find out what that is. But on the other hand, you know, the Santa character, you know, here's the idea. The idea that, well, you be good, and you're going to get rewarded. You know, you're going to get rewarded with gifts. And of course, once, you know, let's say you get rewarded with a gift. Somebody gives you a gift. The problem with that is that you know, there's really nothing inherently wrong with giving and receiving. But the problem with it is that if you don't learn to do it in a mature way, you end up with kind of becoming addicted. The wrong side of your ego becomes addicted to receiving things. Like, you know, and it could just be compliments. As I've said many times, become addicted to that, and then you need more and more in order to try to achieve the same level of ego gratification. and then you can be manipulated if that's with just the threat of withholding it begins to manipulate. So really, the Santa Claus idea is a failure of parents to really be able to discipline their kids. And so the idea of Santa is that Santa is sort of an externalized enforcer. Now, the Krampus idea, which is supposedly designed to be the opposite of that, is really the same thing. It's the same two sides of the same thing, because it's the, you know, it's where we're going to beat you. You know, if you're not good, you're going to get, you know, this demon is going to come and beat you. you know, so it's sort of the same thing. You know, it's just sort of the opposite. Seems like it's the opposite, but it's like two heads on the same goat. The one is going to give you, you know, it's kind of give you the compliments, and the other one is going to punish you. You know, and you and the kid ends up becoming manipulated. Why can't the parent? Why does the parent have to you know, tell kids that you know about, that Santa Claus, you know, Santa Claus is going to reward them if they're good? Why can't they just? Because that's almost like teaching them that there's a false god. Either way, whether it's, you know, get them to resent the Krampus figure, or get them to kind of be proud of the gifts that they might get from Santa Claus. Why can't the parents, you know, sort of a false god, why can't the parent teach the child about their creator in sort of, and not in a plastic and phony way, but, you know, in a direct way, as direct a way as possible, teaching them that we have this built-in intuitive sense of knowing, but, you know, our emotions can kind of shove it out of the way. But if we can make friends with that intuitive sense of knowing that's built into us, knowing the difference between right and wrong, make friends with it, then you're really kind of learning to listen to your creator. That's really what's happening in a very direct way. God isn't some bearded figure up in the sky. Our creator is, you know, that's not it. That's an image that someone created. There is a creator. But, you know, we, a creator we cannot see with our physical eyes. But that, nonetheless, if we're kind of honest, you know, the line from the Bible, be still and know that I am God. If we learn how to be still and not run away, our Creator is right there in, sort of in or right beside, it's kind of hard to describe, our whatever it is we as human beings, we have this sense of awareness. We have this point of awareness. This point of awareness, whatever it is that makes us aware. More than just physically aware, but just aware of, you know, because we're physically aware. We see with our eyes, we feel with our nerves, feel with our hands, but there's another sense of awareness that goes beyond that. And that all of it as a package was brought into existence, and our existence is sustained by our Creator. So we have, in a sense, kind of like a flower that unfolds. From a seed, we have everything that we need already. And if we can learn to relate to it properly, then we can interact with the world, interact with the people around us and not end up becoming contaminated, not ending up becoming violated by the toxic people around us. And there are toxic people around us. Early this morning, I got up very early this morning, and then I stopped, I don't remember the name of the little town, but someplace in Tennessee at a Love's truck stop that wasn't maybe 25, 30 miles from Chattanooga off of Interstate 34 or 24. Stopped there this morning, and so it was about 5 or 5:30 this morning, and that's where I, you know, since I got up so early, I went ahead and had, that was my lunch. I had a choice between McDonald's, which was serving breakfast at that hour, which I'm not really a fan of McDonald's breakfast items. And then there was a Subway. I'm not really a fan of that either. But so I decided, well, I'll go to Subway. And so there was this, the guy was behind the counter by himself. And then there was this older guy, kind of really heavy set. And he must have, I'm assuming he's probably on some sort of disability because he had a cane. And, this was, I don't know, he had kind of long hair, and so it sort of fits into a certain stereotype of that type of person. So, but anyway, the guy was making him a sandwich, so he had it was like a foot long piece of bread, and then he had I think ham and then turkey. So the guy asked him, well, what do you want, or what vegetables do you want? And he said, well, I don't want any vegetables. I'm going to have to remake the sandwich when I get home. Just wrap it up the way it is. And so the guy ended up cutting the sandwich in half because it's a foot long and they always cut them. And as soon as he did that, the guy said, I told you I wanted you to wrap that up just the way it was. And the guy started to say, well, we always cut these things. And so then the guy, forget it. And he just turned around in a huff and walked off. Now, that's an example of a toxic person. So what do you do? You're not going to, you can try to become a hermit and avoid those people. That's not really a very good solution. So what do? Because, it's not a good solution because you can become toxic yourself. So what do? If you have the right relationship with your intuitive sense of knowing what's the difference between right and wrong, if you have the, in other words, if you have the right relationship with your Creator, then you can see people like that and see them behave the way they behave and not be affected by it. And so, little children, when they're little, you know, you're there as a parent or even a grandparent to kind of protect them and guide them, certainly. You know, you don't let them go out into the street or, you know, that type of thing until they're able to. Then they, you know, once they, if you can get them to the point where they can recognize the danger, let's say, of not running out into the street, that once they're able to recognize that on their own, then you know, that's the ultimate goal, is to get them to be able to recognize the danger on their own. Then they can deal with it. Then you won't have to, you know, they won't run out into the street. They know better. So if you can get them to discover and become friends with their own sense of knowing the difference between right and wrong, and not what society, you know, says is right and wrong, or not some externalized version of what's right and wrong, but what they know is right and wrong. If you can get them to make friends with that, and to learn to never doubt that sense of knowing, that's your goal. And then they go off on their own. They can go off on their own, and you don't have to worry about trying to shield them from toxic people, from a toxic world, from an increasingly toxic world. So that's really the failure point of parents. So then they come up with, oh, we're going to have Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is going to reward your good behavior. Or you have what seems to be the opposite, Krampus. Krampus is going to punish your bad behavior. And both of them are sort of like a false god. Sort of a kind of a false, externalized punisher, or you know, or sort of a rewarder, but it's really the same thing. Manipulating the child's behavior. Instead of getting them to discover their own internal compass, their own internal sense of knowing the difference between right and wrong. Because we really do all have that. We're educated away from it, but we really, you know, despite what people will say, and I know there are people that have tried to argue with me and, you know, ridicule the idea. Despite that, it really is built in. So, you know, the guys came back from World War II, you know, the greatest generation. They came back and, you know, the economy really boomed after that, the American economy. as well as the European economy, I think, as well. Really boomed, but we're, you know, the Americans, is, that's what we're talking about right now. The American economy really boomed, and, you know, these guys worked, and they wanted to provide their kids with the things that they never had. And the problem is that they failed as parents. They failed to transmit their own value system. And it doesn't really transmit very well by osmosis. Just being around somebody that has a value system, it doesn't necessarily transmit. Especially if you kind of spoil the kids with all kinds of material goods, and then send them off to the public school. The public school kind of takes over where the parents fail, and you know, and then it takes about three generations, and you end up with where we're at now today. Where we're dangerously close to the point of no return. To the point where the fruit sort of rots all the way through. We really have morals, you know, and even externalized moral standards. We have them for a reason. And the reason for the existence of externalized moral standards is to prevent us from falling farther. You take those moral standards away, and then it all becomes about feelings, and I'm going to do what feels good, and if it feels good, do it. You've got the prescription for disaster. If that's the thing that leads the society, the country turns into a hellhole.
A new message has arrived. A new message
Uh-oh.
Has arrived. A new message has arrived.
Sounds like they send
a
load. So, I'm going to pause this and take a look at that and see what it is. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. They actually had sent, I don't know, one load, and I didn't even really look at it, and then they immediately turned around and canceled it. So this has all but been within the last, I don't know, probably few minutes. They sent a load, and then they canceled it, and then they immediately sent this other load, and that's the one I went ahead and accepted it. Picks up, and it should be drop and hook in Rome, Georgia, which isn't, you know, just kind of north and east of Atlanta. And it should be drop and hook, so I'll pick it up sometime tomorrow, probably tomorrow morning, and then it goes to Chicago, and I may end up dropping it, either delivering it or dropping it, one of the two. So that's that. They did send a load, but at this point I can't go anywhere because I'm in the middle of my break. So So anyway, getting back to what I was talking about, you know, if you read through that the Wikipedia article about Krampus, you know, and then there are different images and sort of different versions that they came up with. And some of them, the Krampus basically looks like the devil. It's sort of a horned figure with a really twisted face and a devilishly, you know, sort of like a devil tail. You know, and in some cases it has one cloven hoof. Cloven meaning like a horse foot, like one horse foot and one human foot, which is interesting because that sort of signifies that it's part animal, you know. And they're not even really sure if it's of the origins of this Krampus idea, you know, and as far as the early European version of it. There's because it may in some cases some people think that it's sort of a German pagan figure. But it's, I don't know, it's an interesting figure. Because even these figures that people come up with, like the Krampus thing, obviously it has some interesting elements to it, because it's obviously, you know, especially the one where it has the one foot is like a horse foot and the other foot is a human foot. In the image that somebody created, it's like it's part animal, and so that kind of is representative in a sense that human beings, we have this part of us that's a physical animal. In that, and if we, you know, what sets us apart from the animals isn't, even though we're more intelligent than the animals, or at least we think we are, we have greater intelligence than all the other animals that we find ourselves on this planet with. The thing that sets us apart is our ability to perceive the difference between right and wrong. As human beings, we're sort of held to a different standard. And I know there are people that just don't like that idea. They want to denigrate that idea. They want to really believe that we're just animals and of course, if we're just physical animals, then we have to be worried about our own security, you know. And you look around today and look how many, you know, everybody's worried about security, being secure, of course. And if you're worried about this physical existence is all you have, and that's all that really matters is your physical existence and your physical comfort, then, of course, you know, that kind of explains the 1960s and the anti-war movement and what have you, you know, without getting into the politics of it. You know, and even today, you know, the University of Missouri campus, you know, where they're worried, they want their safe spaces, you know, and they're, you know, it's like you've got a bunch of kindergartners that have never matured. So you know, they're worried about their physical existence, and they don't want their feelings hurt. because after all, they're just externalized creatures. Their feelings are easily hurt. So you dare not hurt them. You dare not disagree with them. If you disagree with them, it's you're being aggressive. Microaggressions. So if you can teach your children to be in tune with their intuitive sense of knowing the difference between right and wrong, and to cling to that, and to never doubt it, they can interact. You're teaching them to interact perfectly with an imperfect world, with a highly imperfect world, with an increasingly, it seems, an increasingly imperfect world. And you don't need these sort of, these myths, these mythical creatures that are sort of, that are gonna somehow scare them, dominate them, or excite them emotionally into behaving properly. Don't need that, because that all becomes unnecessary. And the Wikipedia article does say that The Krampus idea is starting to catch on. At least it's not very prevalent in the United States, but it's starting to catch on more and more. And that kind of makes sense, because look at what's happened with Halloween. Why do, whenever Halloween comes around, or the Mardi Gras celebration, there are people that just really go crazy with it, and they have to have their Mardi Gras costume, and they have all kinds of elaborate animal masks. Same way with this Krampus idea, because they have different versions of it. They've got parades, and they have Krampus masks, and God knows what. And part of it is sort of a fantasy that they're engaging in, especially if adults participate. Now, I can see little kids kind of, doing the Halloween thing. But it's some, there's a lot of adults that are sort of, that have never grown up. Now, how many adults are into the Star Wars, the so-called Star Wars, the Star Wars thing, and this, the Star Wars movie that's coming out, it hasn't even come out yet, and they're saying, I guess people have already pre-purchased the tickets in a lot of cases, and so they're saying that this is going to be the movie that breaks all box office records. It breaks the records for box office records. And I hear people, some people talking about it. And, it's the latest installment of their fantasy of choice. And why would that be? It's because their lives, when it comes right down to it, their lives are empty. And they have their false gods. And for a lot of people, the false god, one of the false, they have many false gods. They worship, many different gods. One of them, one of the big false gods is the false god of technology and new devices. You know, and there are plenty of other ones. You know, you can make, as I've said many times, you can make anything, and I mean anything, into a false god. Into a kind of a ritual, you know, sort of a religion. For many people, government is a giant false god. Sort of a man-made god. And of course, the giant man-made god in the form of government always ends up being a totalitarian state. Because after all, you know, the real God sort of knows what your thoughts are. Etc., etc. And so then the totalitarian state version, the man-made version, ends up mimicking the same thing. You live in a totalitarian state, and you're being spied on. People are watching you. You're being watched in various ways. And if you have, you know, it gets to the point where, you have the idea of thought crimes. You think the wrong thoughts, and you're committing crimes just by thinking the wrong thoughts. Everybody has to be the same. Everybody has to be equally toxic, in other words. And the toxic people won't tolerate, if they're in the majority, they will not tolerate the non-toxic. Everybody's got to be equally toxic. Everybody's got to be supportive of the toxicity of choice. So, what's the solution? Solution is pretty simple. The solution is deceptively simple. The solution is actually right with you right now. The solution has always been with you. We turn our back on the solution. We pretend that the solution doesn't exist. The solution that we turn our back on is not what we think it is. All you have to really do is learn to be still. Line from the Bible, be still and know that I am God. You allow your Creator to catch up with you. As I was saying before, whatever we are as human beings, beyond just this, the animal awareness that we have, the animal senses that we have, that we're blessed with. So we have these physical bodies. We have nerves. We're able to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. There's something beyond that. There's a that we have an awareness that goes beyond those senses that we have, the physical senses that we have. It's really hard to put our fingers on. But it is there. There's some awareness that we have that goes beyond physical senses, and that whatever that awareness is gives us to know the difference between right and wrong. And that is not, what I'm talking about is not programmed from the outside. It's not externally programmed. You know, if you have a, let's say you mount a camera on a, like a tripod, and let's say the camera is movable, the camera has a certain range of motion, and it can look in 360 degrees, and it can even look up, but it can't look back, it can't look perfectly down. It can't look perfectly back at whatever it's mounted on. And that's sort of an imperfect analogy for us as human beings. And this awareness, you know, so-called still small voice. Because in a sense, We're sort of like the camera that's mounted on a tripod. But we're not aware of the tripod. Although we should be. So if you go to my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com, up at the top there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. I've got, probably four different MP3 files, I think, on there. And that will basically, those files, you can listen to them on your computer, your phone, smartphone, download them, put them on an MP3 player, burn them to CD, however you want to do it. And those files, will kind of teach you, if you follow them, you have to follow them, teach you how to meditate. It's a very simple technique, meditation technique. It's a very simple way of learning to hold your awareness away from your thoughts, out of your thoughts. We have a tendency to think that we are our thoughts, but we're not. We have a point of awareness that is actually separate from thought. The reason we think that we're our thoughts is because we're generally lost in our thoughts, and the people around us encourage us to be lost in our thoughts, distracted constantly. You know, same old thoughts going around and around and around, like a mouse and running in a squirrel cage.
or a squirrel running in a squirrel cage. And if you can learn to do this simple meditation technique, it will show you that you are not your thoughts. It's possible to hold your awareness apart from your thoughts. So therefore, it's possible to be conscious but not be caught up in thought. Now, why would you want to do that? Because that's where your creator is. That's where the tripod is. You know, going back to the camera analogy. And you don't even, the interesting thing is, you don't have to do anything. There's nothing to do other than just simply be aware. There's nothing to do, no procedure to follow. Other than, you know, learn how to meditate, and then it's up to you to continue with it. But the idea is, the basic concept is that God is here with us. God obviously creates us. God is at the very root of our existence. God is at the very root of the, our physical existence, of matter itself. So God really is at the root of everything and sustaining everything, and then sustaining our awareness on top of that as human beings. Act of learning to hold your awareness apart from your thoughts. Holding your awareness in the present moment. And allowing your creator to catch up with you. The very act of that, you know, a willingness to submit yourself to the present moment, to just be in the present moment, to be aware in the present moment, the very willingness to do that, and the very act of doing it, especially on a regular basis, that's all it takes. And then if you have the right attitude and the right willingness, because the meditation technique itself is not going to save you, that's not salvation. That puts you into a state where you can be saved. It's, you still have to have the right attitude. You still have to develop the right attitude, and it's not an instantaneous process. It's kind of an ongoing analog process that you know, and it takes a bit. It doesn't happen instantly. It might take an entire lifetime. But that simple willingness to spend even a relatively tiny amount of time in the present moment on a regular basis ends up having a profound effect. It's really quite remarkable. But it's up to you to try it. It's up to you to, you know, and if you find that it helps you, and I can't promise it's going to help everybody, but I do believe that it has the potential of helping most people. If you find that it helps you, then it's up to you to continue with it. And I can only give you my personal experience. And what has happened to me over time is that at some point, a number of years ago, I realized that my anxiety was gone. You know, anxiety about the future, anxiety about, and I'm talking about, you know, kind of a pressing sense of anxiety that people have, and that I certainly had. That's gone. And I look out and I still see the problems. I still see the, you know, I still see a world full of toxic people. Seemingly increasingly toxic people. And intellectually, I know that's not good. Intellectually, I know that has a very detrimental effect for society, for country, for the world. But paradoxically, I have a sense of the sense of well-being. That I can't, there really is no explanation for. You know, kind of going back to the camera on the tripod analogy. You know, the camera, if the camera could be aware that it was on the tripod, it could be aware of the tripod. It would be aware that no matter what happened, the tripod would be there to kind of keep it together and keep it in position. You know, and that's sort of the analogy. Once I realized that there is a creator, once I realized that there is a purpose that sort of created me as an awareness, giving me the ability to, and even the desire to be aware as an awareness, whatever that is, then regardless of what the people around me are doing, regardless of how toxic they become, and the sort of the toxic consequences that they beget for themselves and for sadly for their offspring, because the sins of the fathers are visited on the third and fourth generation, saith the Lord, and that's absolutely true in more ways than you can count. Despite all of that, I have the, you know, whatever it is that has made me aware, and I'm aware, I know there's a creator, and I know that there's a purpose for the fact that I'm aware, that I have the ability to be aware, that I have the desire to be aware. Then despite what's happening around me, the one thing that can't be violated is the relationship that I have with my Creator, and that relationship is really the purpose for existence, or, you know, is really the purpose, or at least revolving around the purpose for existence, or if not the purpose itself. And so it's kind of a paradox. I find myself in the world, but not really subjected to it in a harmful way. You know, the words, what I'm trying to describe, you know, I've got a pretty clear picture in my mind, but it the words just aren't there. The words just fall apart. There really are no words to describe what, you know, to describe this relationship. So, you know, kind of falling back on cheesy language, you know, if you have a relationship with God, you know, and there we go back to that, and that sounds cheesy, especially because, you know, cheesy people have sort of, you know, soiled the language, soiled the words. So they talk about their relationships, and it's kind of fake and phony. Nonetheless, if you know, words are all we have, that's all I have to communicate with. If you have a relationship with your Creator, an intimate relationship with your Creator, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that your Creator is what makes you aware. And you have 100% no doubt that's what it is, that's why you're aware, is because you're your Creator, then what seems to be going on the outside is unimportant. So is the world going to end? I don't have a clue. How toxic are things going to become? Don't know. But yet, I do know, and I have 100% certainty 100% trust. In the relationship, that I have with whatever it is that makes me aware. And again, you know, the words sort of fall apart. So each individual has to, in order to really understand this, you have to take the journey yourself, and you have to find it for yourself. Someone else can't do it for you. And simply going to church or anything like that just isn't enough. That doesn't cut it. So that meditation is on my website. Give it a try. And as I say, if you find that it helps you, it's up to you to continue with it. And I'm pretty sure about one thing. Things are becoming, they're in the process of becoming more and more and more chaotic. And I believe that's going to continue. You know, all indications are it's just going to get more and more chaotic. And if you don't have this relationship, I could see where that it would be pretty tough. Be a pretty tough world to live in if you just, you know, you have to kind of live in the world and the news headlines, and you have to rely on music to kind of change your mood and make you feel better, or plummet into your fantasy of choice in order to try to forget. The hell that is the external world. The hell on earth that toxic people are projecting. Sort of projectile vomiting on each other. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. And what time is it? 7:16. I got up at, I think I had my alarm set for, what was it? Maybe 2:50, I think. Excuse me. I think I had it set for about 2:50 a.m. this morning. And that was Eastern time, I think. So I was up pretty early. And so now it's 7, well, it'd be 8:16 Eastern time. And so I'm starting to get a little bit tired. I did take a nap, somewhat of a nap, after I unloaded. I was able to park out on the street of the place where I delivered the load to. And was able to park out there and... And I did sleep probably for about, I don't know, I might have been asleep for the better part of an hour, I think, and maybe a little longer than that.
probably a little longer than that, possibly. So anyway, hope everyone is having a great weekend so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.